October 3rd, 1985. Later. Dear Diary, dinner was good tonight. One of my favorite meals, potato pancakes with creamed corn topping and vegetables on the side. I'll have to start changing the way I eat soon or run the risk of blowing up like a balloon. Mom made it special for me tonight because she knows I'm still upset about Jupiter. She and Dad ate chicken instead. Jupiter is the other news. Usually he'll go out back and play in the yard area. It isn't fenced in, but he never wandered. I guess he was too smart to leave a home that loved him so much and fed him so well. Even though I didn't write to you often of him, he was one of the most special things in the world to me. Always sweet and gentle. Always loved me no matter what I looked like or what I had done wrong or right for the day. Often, on nights that I could not sleep, the two of us would play downstairs with a ball of string to only the light of the tiny wall lamp. We would enjoy ice cream in the kitchen afterward. He was a true vanilla fan. It would be dark in the house, and the two of us prowled together until sleep found us, hours after we had given up on getting any at all. I still have a photo Dad took of Jupiter and me on the living room couch after one of these nights. We hadn't made it back upstairs to sleep and had fallen asleep on the couch instead. I gave the photo of Jupiter to Sheriff Truman so that he could post it in the station. I hope they find whoever hit Jupiter. I know it was probably an accident, because a few minutes before it happened, he had found a small mouse or something. I hadn't paid much attention, but he raced off with it and was hit out on the road. Mom heard the noise and called for me to stay where I was until she knew what had happened. But sometimes Mom and I think the same thoughts, have the same dreams. And she knows better than to think I'd stay in my room when I knew. So I didn't listen and went out to see him, still breathing for a few moments afterward and bleeding from his eyes and tummy. I can't believe someone could hit a cat like that right in the middle of the day and not tell someone, not think to stop and come to the closest house and report what had happened. Mom heard the car screech, and Dad said he wishes he had been home because he might have been able to tell what kind of car it was that hit him just by the sound. I doubt it, but it was a nice thought. He's buried outside now. A good friend gone. When I so cherish the few I have. I wish something else would have died instead of Jupiter. To be honest with you, as I always am, many people in Twin Peaks like me. Lots know my name, and especially at school, I feel quite popular. The only problem is that I don't really know any of these people the way they think they know me. And I think I am safe in saying they don't know me at all. Donna knows the most. But still, I am afraid to tell her of my fantasies and my nightmares. Because sometimes she is good at understanding, and other times she just giggles, and I don't have the nerve to ask why things like that are funny to her. So I feel badly again, and shut up about it for a long time. I love Donna very much, but sometimes I worry that she wouldn't be around me at all if she knew what my insides were like. Black and dark and soaked with dreams of big, big men in different ways they might hold me and take me into their control. A fairy princess who thinks she has been rescued from the tower, but finds that the man who takes her away is not there to save her, but instead to go inside her deep, to ride her as if she were an animal, to tease her and make her close her eyes and listen as he tells her all that he does, step by step. I hope that is not a bad thing to think. Love, Laura. October 12th. 1985. Dear Diary, I tried a marijuana cigarette the other night. Donna and I had a sleepover at her place, but her parents went out for the night with mine to the Great Northern for a party Benjamin was throwing. Donna and I didn't really want to go, and I especially didn't because of Audrey. I talked Donna into riding our bikes up to the bookhouse to meet some new people. It took me forever to convince her I wouldn't tell anyone and that we would be back before our parents. Finally, she agreed because both of us have been terribly bored with all the same faces around all the time. We were barely there a half hour before these guys, Josh and Tim, and one other one, but I can't remember his name, came up to us. I was smoking a cigarette that I stole from the reception desk at the Great Northern one day when I brought Johnny an Indian storybook. They thought we were older because one of us was smoking. So Josh came up with Tim and the other guy. They said they were from Canada, and there was no doubt about that because they couldn't stop saying, "Eh? Want a better cigarette, eh?" Tim liked Donna right away, which freaked her out a little because all three of them were like 20 years old. None of them rocked my boat. They all looked like nice guys. I felt pretty safe, but not excited. You know what I mean? Anyway, I said I wanted to try a better cigarette, and Donna and I followed them out to the back of the bookhouse to do it. Donna made up this elaborate story about how we were just visiting Twin Peaks for the night, and then we had to meet our tour bus in less than an hour. She said we were on a tour called Round About the Woods. I guess they believed her because they hurried up and lit this thing right up. Josh said we might not feel it the first time, but Donna and I proved him wrong. He said we had to hold it in, eh? And we did. 6 times. Diary. It was amazing. Talk about feeling relaxed and warm and a little bit sexy. I called Donna Trisha, and she called me Bernice, just in case they ever came back and asked for us for any reason. We didn't want anyone to know. So we were absolutely laughing harder than I ever have before. Every single thing I saw was hysterical. Everything was blurred and kind of wavy, like I was looking at the world through the bottom of an empty water glass. There was a warm summer wind, and the trees smelled so good. Tim brought us a cup of coffee with chocolate mixed in, and all five of us sat and talked about all sorts of things, like if maybe our universe was just a tiny little speck of lint that a huge giant hadn't noticed on his sweater, and someday soon, who knows if this great giant would just brush us off or toss us into a washer and drown us all to death. Donna said maybe our idea of hundreds of years is only a split second to this giant, and soon something would have to happen, because how long can someone keep a sweater on? We all liked the idea that there might be other little universes, or balls of lint on this sweater, and we thought we'd someday like to meet a few people from these other places, as long as they were nice to us. We could hear a little bit of music coming out of the roadhouse, and I just had to get up and dance a little. I felt better than I had in ages, just floating in the night air and feeling warm inside. Donna even danced with me for a few minutes until she realized we had to go meet our tour bus. We had to lie and say we rented the bikes from the lost and found at the sheriff's station, but I don't think the guys bought the story at all. They were nice not to say anything to us about it, if they did know. Maybe it added excitement to their night, too. Then again, maybe not, because they're older and have probably had much more exciting nights than that. When we were riding home, we kept having to stop because we had such giggles. Then I got the most outrageous craving for cookies and milk, like I'd die if I didn't have any. And Donna agreed 100% that we had to have something sweet. She said there was pie at her house, but that didn't seem right. So we emptied our pockets and went into the cash and carry for treats. We bought so much junk that we had to walk our bikes back to Donna's house so that we could each hold a bag. All the way home, we were paranoid, just like the guy said we would be, because our eyes were all bloodshot and we wanted to get home before our parents did. We totally lucked out, because just when we got into the house, Dr. Hayward called and said they were going to be a bit longer because Benjamin was showing slides or something. Thank God! We ran upstairs and put eye drops in our eyes, then turned on the stereo and ate and danced and laughed. And we were totally sound asleep when everyone got back. I know drugs are bad, but I'm beginning to get the feeling I like being that way. Kind of bad. More tomorrow. Laura. October 20th, 1985. Dear Diary, it is a little over 1 week later and I have more news. Sorry I haven't written, but it has really been kind of crazy around here. Well, here, inside me at least. Home is just the same. Irritating more than anything else. God, I feel so trapped sometimes. Like I have to wear this permanent grin on my face or else everyone freaks out on me. I wonder if pain, the kind that doesn't just happen when your cat is killed or when an aunt dies, but the kind that you have to live with, can it ever be a friend? Pain as a shadow or a companion? I wonder if that's possible. Anyway, the news is strange. I'm a little nervous about how much I've enjoyed the danger of it all. But I'll tell you everything and get it off my chest. Maybe it will be like my dreams, less difficult to understand if I see it on paper. Here goes. Last Friday night, the day before yesterday, Donna and I went back to the book house at about 4 in the afternoon. I guess we went back hoping Josh and Tim and their friend would be there again, and we could get high on another funny cigarette. We got sort of dressed up, not too dressy or crazy, because we do know everyone in town practically, and we didn't want it to get back to our parents. But we had on skirts that were pretty short and a little tighter than most people would approve of, except boys, of course. And we played with some makeup that Donna's mom, Mrs. Hayward, had given her as an Easter present because Donna wanted to try some, and her mom wanted her to have her own. Anyway, again, we got to the book house, and no one except Big Jake Morrissey was there. He's the guy who runs the place. I guess I should tell you about it so you can imagine where I was. It is a coffee house, mostly for guys. Girls are allowed, but it's more like a guy's hangout. There are books everywhere on the tables and shelves, which linked all three walls, all the way to the back. It smells like cigarettes, aftershave, and coffee. There's always coffee brewing. And this time I was inside, I noticed a picture of the man perfect for my fantasies. I didn't say anything, of course, but he's just perfect. Rough and tough, but has puppy dog eyes and soft skin. The picture is of him in jeans and a leather jacket, holding a book and sitting on his motorcycle reading. I am in love. So we were the only ones in the place. And Jake gave us coffee and said that people would be coming in soon and it might be wise if we left when they started to come in, especially dressed like we were. He was half joking, half serious, when he asked us, "Are you girls looking for trouble of a boy nature?" Donna turned all red, and I just told him what I would tell Mom or Dad if they ever found out. "We're just playing around and pretending. It's just for fun, not for trouble." He understood, or bought it, rather, and after we finished our coffee, we left. On the way out, though, I told Jake that about a week ago, three really nice Canadian boys had been there and had helped Donna and I fix our flat tires after we'd run over the broken beer bottle glass that's always in front of the roadhouse. I told him that if he saw them, Josh, Tim, and another guy with blonde hair, that he should tell them we wanted to thank them with a cup of coffee or something. Then I told him we'd probably be out back just talking if they showed up. Jake said he'd relay the message if they came in. You guessed it. They showed up. Jake must have told them what I said because they came out laughing and giving us a hard time for lying to them before. Donna was pretty quick and smart to say that we wanted to make sure that you guys were cool before we told you who we were or anything. They all said we looked really nice, and I found out that the third guy's name was Rick, and all of them are 22. We said our age wasn't important and wouldn't stop any of us from having fun as long as we were home by 10. If it was going to be later, we would have to call. Josh said he had some alcohol, and if there was a place we knew of to build a small fire or something out in the woods, we could all go out there and have a little party. By this time, it was about 5:30 or so. They were in a truck this time instead of on bikes, and so Donna and I got in the open back and told them to cross Lucky Highway 21 and head into the woods behind Lowtown. We both figured it would be safer there, and if anything happened, I could just say that I had gotten lost with Donna, that we had taken a walk or something and lost track of where we were. It would be okay, I figured, no matter what. These guys seemed nice enough. So we trusted them a second time. We got to a place where there was a stream and hardly any needles on the ground, so the fire would be a safe idea. Tim and Rick looked for kindling while Josh opened up this bottle of, I guess it was gin that he had. The only alcohol Donna and I ever had was a glass of champagne, one glass, at Dr. Hayward's birthday party last year. This was brand new to both of us. Donna seemed excited, but nervous, too. I was just plain excited and was the first to drink a sip of it after Josh. We just passed it around until it was empty. Donna and I were really messed up almost instantly. Rick kept saying, "They're toasted, man." Both Donna and I had to pee, so we went away from the fire about 30 feet and crouched down behind a tree. For a moment there, we were both scared, real scared. We didn't know how to act, and both of us kept thinking we were saying stupid things or sounding too young or something. When I stood up, my head got light. I thought to myself, "Oh, it's too late now. You're already drunk. You better just enjoy it, and don't forget to keep watching the time." Donna agreed that we had just better go with the flow and stick close together in case we got scared again. Tim turned on the truck stereo, and I asked if it would be stupid if I danced around for a while, because I liked the song. All three said it was okay, and Donna just sat there staring at the fire for a while. Tim went and sat really close to her and whispered something in her ear. Her eyes got really big, and she kind of laughed and then relaxed. I guess he made her feel good or pretty or something. I'll have to remember to ask her what he whispered to her. So I was dancing, and Josh and Rick couldn't stop watching me. And I was feeling pretty comfortable, or confident, or both. But I just went a little bit crazy and got into a sexier dance. One that I practiced alone in my room in front of the mirror. I moved my hips around in circles and let my arms move slow. And sometimes I touched my hips like it felt good to me to touch myself. Darn, Mom's calling me downstairs to do the dishes. I'll be right back. There's lots more. Love, Laura. Diary, I'm back. Sorry I had to stop. So, I was dancing. And Donna saw what I was doing and looked at me like I was crazy. She looked around for a minute, and I guess she wanted to be a part of the attention, too, or something, because she looked at her watch and said, "Let's go skinny dipping." That right there should tell you how drunk Donna was. Everybody got quiet and just listened to the music for a second, then said, "Yeah, okay." So Donna and I took off our clothes, all of them. We almost left our panties on, but we were afraid they would think we were stupid little girls. They were all in the stream sitting against the rocks when we came back to the fire. The stream is probably 3.5 feet deep at its deepest place. So they were sitting there, and we set our clothes down and stood by the fire for a minute. When we moved toward the water, Josh said, "Stop. There. Just for a minute." So we did. And after a minute of us just waiting, he said to Tim and Rick, "Have you ever in your life seen such a beautiful sight as these two girls?" They both made noises like they liked it, too. Donna and I kind of moved a little when we realized they were staring at us like that. That close, you know? Tim said, "Look at the way the fire makes shadows on their skin." And Donna and I looked at each other and then looked back toward them. They were hard to see because we were so close to the light and they were in the dark in the stream. Rick just said, "Please, please come into the water with us." We did. It was so amazing. The way they felt when we got close under the water, soft and slippery, was like I was dreaming. I never felt anything so nice and so close to what I'd fantasized about. All of them had hard, I guess I'll call them cocks, because penis sounds like a word you only read in sex ed books. So they were all hard. And I said, mainly because I knew Donna was more freaked out than I was by all of this, I said, "Let's make tonight a play night. We can all go home with that nice feeling of wishing more had happened. Donna and I are not going to go all the way with you." When it came out of my mouth, I couldn't believe it for a second. Who was talking? What was I, Laura Palmer, 13 years old, doing out here in the woods like this with 3 naked boys 9 years older than I am? They all said okay. But Josh said, "Can we at least touch you and maybe get a kiss?" Donna looked at me the same way she did a year ago when Maddie was talking about kissing. I told them I didn't mind, but if Donna did, they couldn't force her. Something tells me now when I look back that this was probably the most excited these guys had been ever. I don't think they would have done anything bad even if we had asked for it, because they were just as scared. It was such a personal and strange night. It was like the woods got us all acting crazy, like the trees and the fact that it had gotten dark made us forget anything else existed. It was 8:30, and we only had about an hour until we would have to go back home. I kneeled down in the stream in front of Josh and got my hair wet. Then I looked at him and I said, "You can touch them if you want to, it's okay." So he was real slow, and he put his hands on my breasts, which have gotten to be a good size, I think, for my age. And he shook for a second like he was amazed. I felt like I was on top of the world. I was making this 22-year-old boy go crazy inside. He touched them, then touched just my nipples, and I had a hard time not saying how good that felt, so I laughed. Tim started touching Donna's breasts, and she just watched him silently as he did it. Rick didn't have anyone to be with, so I said, "You can touch me too. But remember, we all made a deal, right?" He nodded and crawled in the water up to me and put his mouth on my nipple. I had to close my eyes so that they wouldn't come out of my head completely. It felt so incredible. I couldn't help but think of the guy in the photo in the bookhouse. And even if this sounds weird, I'm going to say it. I had the sexiest thought that he was nursing on me, like inside me was all the warmth and nourishment he would ever need. This older boy needing me. I felt strong and almost like I was making a fantasy for them. Josh put his mouth on my other nipple and Tim and Donna moved away from us a little in the water and just started talking. Then Donna got out with Tim and got dressed and just sat by the fire, talking more. I didn't care, or couldn't care. I wasn't going to stop this until I had to. It felt too good to spoil it. I whispered to Josh and Rick that I had a wish that one of them would kiss me, real soft and slow, and that maybe the other could keep touching me the way they were doing already. Rick said Josh could kiss me, as long as he got one too later, or whatever. So Josh leaned to me and got real close, and just before he was going to kiss me, he said real quiet, softly, right? And I told him yes. And he said, soft and slow. And he opened his mouth, and I opened mine, and our tongues started to move together, like we were wanting more and more, but it wasn't fast. It was slow, so nice and slow. And Rick was sucking on my nipples and making noises like he was hungry and getting fed or like he was eating an ice cream that was delicious. No matter what he was feeling, believe me, I felt 10 times better than he sounded. I went into a dream for I don't know how long while this was happening, and it was like nothing bad ever happened to me. Everything disappeared, and I suddenly didn't care if I ever saw Donna, Mom, Dad, anyone, ever again. This warm feeling of being needed, wanted, and special, like I was a treasure, was all I wanted to feel, forever. I had no age, and there was no time or schoolwork or troubles or chores or anything to cloud my mind or bring me back to little Laura. I was ageless, and I was everything these two boys wanted. I was something from their dreams. Rick began to kiss me next, and he was just as gentle and sweet, but had a different way of kissing. He moved his tongue and lips differently, and he would stop and bite very softly sometimes on my lips like a tease. I know I'm going on and on, Diary, but I have to tell someone, and Donna, even though she was there, really wasn't there the way I was. She wasn't ready for it, or for the way it would make her feel. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but Donna is still more interested in being good, all the way through. Me? I think I'm being good. As much as I can. And maybe more than most people. But I've needed to forget things for a long time now. And this was an incredible solution. Nothing more than that happened in the stream, except I did touch both of them between the legs. I was soft to them the way they were with me. And I thought it was wonderful that they were so hard and that their hardness floated in the water, something I could only feel and not see, just the way I wanted it. I was able to want more, but able to enjoy what I had. Tim and Donna exchanged phone numbers while I was getting dressed, and the only thing I was at all worried about was that I was really drunk and starting to feel a little sick to my stomach. I guess Donna was, too, because Tim said, maybe we should help them throw up or something so that it doesn't happen when they get home. Donna here is worried, you know, about how she would explain it to her parents. I couldn't believe how cool these guys were being to us. They didn't crack one joke or make us feel like we were nothings next to them. I know we aren't, but it was nice, especially in the state we were in. Not to hear anything like that. Rick said there was chewing gum in the truck's glove compartment, and if we wanted some, we could have it. I tried to picture going home the way I was, tipsy and all dazed. Throwing up didn't sound like fun, but Tim suggested it might help sober us up, so Donna and I went off and stuck our fingers down our throats. Up it came. Ugh, it was awful. But I did feel better, and Donna said it was easier for her to walk after that. I said we should probably get going, and that if they didn't mind, maybe they could drop us like a block from home. Either house. I thought the truck ride and the fresh air would help, too. Hang on a second, Diary. Mom wants a kiss goodnight. Okay, I'm back. Thank God she didn't see you. When the boys dropped us off, we hopped out of the back, and Tim kissed Donna's hand really romantically. And Rick and Josh said they really enjoyed meeting her. I went to the driver's window where Josh was, and I was about to thank him, and I guess just say whatever came out, but he stopped me. A chill ran down my back. He put his finger over my lips and said, "I don't think I'll ever forget you, Laura." And he smiled, and Rick said, "Thanks for trusting us the way you did." They drove off, and Donna and I almost cried. We were a block from Donna's house, and we each put an extra piece of gum in our mouths and rehearsed our story. We were in the woods, just talking. We were making up stories and talking about dreams we had. And the future. Donna said she didn't feel like she was lying because that's what she and Tim did do. They kissed a couple of times, and Donna admitted, right before we walked into our house, that she really liked it. I decided we shouldn't explain anything we did while we were out unless someone asked. I've seen people over-explain things, and it makes it seem like they're lying or hiding something, which we would be. Donna's parents were asleep on the couch when we walked in, and we snuck past them and up to Donna's room. We brushed our teeth and fixed our hair a little, and before we went downstairs, we hugged each other. We didn't say a word. We just hugged. I think it was our way of saying that it was our secret, and that we were still friends, and that we were okay. We were home, and we were okay. Donna woke her dad up and said we'd been waiting to wake him because he looked so peaceful, sleeping there, leaning his head on Mrs. Hayward's shoulder. He offered to drive me home, so I called Mom. And she said she hadn't even realized the time because she was reading a really good book. She said Dad was already in bed. She said she'd wait up for me. I don't feel guilty about what happened, but I think that's only because no one was worried, and the boys were so nice. I just can't help but get sad inside when I realize that it's over. That night is gone, and I'm Laura again, 13 years old, and the apple of my daddy's eye. Not with anger, but with anticipation. I look forward to being older and on my own, and with no one but me to answer to. God bless Mom and Dad. Troy, Jupiter, rest his soul, and the boys, Josh, Tim, and Rick. Thank you, God, for giving me those few hours of bliss. More soon. L. P.S. I am feeling like each time I think about tonight, I change it a little bit. The boys get a little bit more rough with me each time. I get more seductive and I make them tell me how they feel when they touch me. I make them tell me what it's like for them. I don't know why I changed it. I loved it the way it was, but when I make it again in my head, I make them do things a little nastier. I like that feeling. I like that they feel more than I do. November 10th, 1985. Dear Diary, last night, for the first time in ages, I slept all the way through the night. When I woke up, I couldn't even remember the dreams I had had, or if I even had any. I know they say everyone dreams all the time, but usually I remember them. Anyway, I was brushing Troy at the stables, and all of a sudden I got this image in my head of an address. 1400 River Road. 1400 River Road. I had dreamed it. I suddenly felt like I had to be there. I had to find this place and see what it was. I decided I would call Mom from the stables and tell her I was going for a ride with Troy and I'd be back soon. I had a little bit of an idea where 1400 River Road was, but I just checked it with Zippy to make sure. He said it wasn't that far away, but there wasn't much there. I told him I wanted to ride out with Troy somewhere I hadn't been before. I didn't want to tell him I'd dreamed about this address and had to find out if it even existed. I was afraid he'd look at me funny. And besides, I wasn't even sure why I felt so drawn to it. I guess with all that had been happening, I felt like I should just keep quiet about it. Keep it secret, like so many other things. Zippy said to be sure to make a left when the dirt road forks off, because otherwise I would end up on a paved road, and that would be bad for Troy's hooves and shoes. I promised, and off we went. All sorts of thoughts went through my head, and I even cried a little because I started to think about Josh and Tim and Rick, and how I would probably never see them again. I thought about how Donna hadn't called me today yet, and I was worried she was thinking I was dirty or bad or something, and I felt a very deep need to talk to her. I hope she doesn't stop liking me. I don't know what I would do if that happened. So I kept seeing this address in my head. Each time I finished a thought, no matter what it was, and finally I found myself in front of this very old, abandoned gas station. I got off Troy and tied him up at the frame that was still there, the frame that goes around the top of the pumps, the one with the signs telling you which gas is which. Grass was growing there, and I just let him graze so I could look around. When I walked around Troy so that I was completely facing the station, I saw the log lady standing very quiet with her log, right underneath the piece of wood that said, 1400 River Road. She smiled at me, and I realized I had seen her face in my dream. We didn't say anything to each other for a long time. We just stared, smiling. I wasn't uncomfortable, but I was pretty curious about what I was there for. And just as I was thinking this, she spoke to me. She said, "I know you're feeling curious about this place and about me." I nodded. "A dream told me I was supposed to meet you here so that we could spend some time," she said. My stomach did a flip, and my mouth dropped open. "I dream like other people sometimes," she said calmly. "It just happens. I never realized that Margaret, the log lady, was so nice." We sat together on the grass out in the front, and she told me she knew a lot of things about me, special things. She said I should not worry so often. If I pay attention to the things around me, these special things will come. She would often touch her log, be silent as she leaned down close to listen to it. Most times she would smile as if she were amused, pleased. Other times she would tell the log that she would not hear about that now. This was not the time. The last time that happened, she turned to me and whispered, "Things are not what they seem." She looked away, then turned back with a different look on her face, as if she were relieved we were still alone. She said she knew I had been dreaming of being a woman, and that this was good because young girls always do. Then her words got confusing. She said many things about the woods, and I tried to listen very carefully because I trusted her and thought maybe she knew something that would help me. A lot of it seemed like gibberish. I remember it, so I'll write it down, but I don't know what it means. Maybe I'll understand it later. What I did understand made me feel so good inside, like I wasn't being bad all of this time, maybe, and that I could keep on hoping for things without being afraid that I was acting selfishly. Here are some of the things she told me. She said that sometimes the woods are a place to learn about things and to learn about yourself. Other times, the woods are a place for other creatures to be, and it is not for us. She said that sometimes people go camping and learn things they shouldn't. Children are prey sometimes. I think that's how she said it. What else? I tried so hard to remember everything. Oh, she told me that she would be watching. And someday people will find out that she sees things and remembers them. She said it is important to remember things you see and feel. Owls are sometimes big. There! That was the one I had forgotten totally. Owls are sometimes big. I hope that doesn't mean my mom talked about that owl dream I had. I don't think so, but that's the only way it makes any sense to me. I hope I'll understand all of this soon. Either way, we kept sitting together and I listened to her hum this song that I had never heard before, but I thought it was very nice. It made me feel safe, which I think she was trying to make me feel. I feel sorry for her, that people think she is strange and weird. She isn't at all. I could see in her eyes that something had hurt her. But I didn't even begin to understand what it was until Mom told me when I got home. She said that Margaret, the log lady, had a husband who was a firefighter. He was killed fighting a fire. And Mom said it was awful because he tripped over a root or something and fell headfirst into hot coals and burned himself to death, face first. They had just been married a little while when he died. And since then, Margaret has been very quiet and has kept her pain to herself. Mom also said that she didn't have her log until after her husband died. I didn't know any of this when I was out there at 1400 River Road with her. But it didn't really matter, I guess. I told her I thought she was a very nice and special person, and that I was glad I had paid attention to my dream because I wouldn't have wanted to miss talking with her. I told her I hoped she was right about my life having special things in it, that I will look for them, because I want my life to be good. Then I told her something that I hope she never repeats. I didn't even expect to say it. And to tell you the truth, I didn't know where it came from. I told her that sometimes things happen that no one knows about. They happen in the woods when it is very dark. I told her that sometimes I wasn't even sure these things were real. And sometimes I think they are more real than the sun coming up in the morning, and that the thought of that frightened me very much. She looked away from me, I remember, when I finished. I thought I had said something that upset her. She grabbed her log tight, then looked back at me and said that I was a very beautiful girl, and that many people would love me in my life. I hope many people do love me in my life. Someday someone will love me the way the boys did, but even more. I wonder where that person is right now. And if he is wondering where I am and what I look like, and when we will finally meet. I wonder if Margaret has ever thought about sex the way I do. On the way home, I tried to hum the song she had hummed to me, but I couldn't remember it. I felt very good inside when I left 1400 River Road, and that feeling stayed with me all through my ride back to the stables. all the way home with Mom in the car, and even now, it is just as strong. I hope Margaret isn't feeling lonely right now. I hope she is feeling as happy as I am. I only wish I could have brought her news of how happy her life would be. It's too bad I had nothing for her. More later. Laura. P.S. Donna still hasn't called me back. November 13th, 1985. Listening to the wood. Inside the trees are souls, I think. Souls that grow and change. Inside each leaf, so quiet. A memory of moments no one else has seen. But no man ever listens, takes the time to think. That trees might see what happens. That in the way they rustle is a hint they wish to speak. They might have tried to whisper in the palm of someone's hand. Their memory of the little girl. How there is a new hole inside her and a new and smaller mouth. But no one believes or cares that maybe the tree would know something was very wrong. That it wants to talk about the sadness. It has seen so many nights. I think the world should walk deep into the woods. Listen very carefully to the voices in the leaves. See the details, the tiny maps of footsteps and sometimes stains. They should see that the leaves are shaped like tears. They should study the design in fallen needles. Maybe there are some markings on the ground that will lead the world to the one who made the hole. It is late, and he came tonight. I don't know if the log lady was talking about the right Laura Palmer. November 20th, 1985. Dear Diary, I had a dream just now that makes me believe I will not be sleeping tonight. I was in a room. It was very empty, and I was feeling badly that it was empty. I thought it was my fault that nothing was there. I was crouched in one of the corners of the room, and I was staring at this one spot at the other end of the room because I knew something was going to be there soon. After a minute, I started to get very cold, and I thought that I saw something, but it disappeared. Then I looked away because I was trying to find the door that went to another room and out of this one because I wanted to see if the furniture was in another room. I felt very bad about something, and I wanted to fix things so that I could stop feeling so guilty. I guess that's what I was feeling. Guilt. I turned back to look across the room, and there was an enormous rat sitting there. I knew in the dream that it was coming after me and that it wanted to bite my foot off. I became so afraid. I saw it come closer and closer to me, and I tried to think of a way to stop it or a place to run away, but there wasn't anywhere to go or anything I could do. I know it may sound funny, but it was so frightening. I sat very still and tried to keep my feet tight against my body so that the rat couldn't get to my foot. I couldn't stop thinking of how awful it was going to feel when it closed its jaws around my ankle and bit down. I didn't want to feel that, and I didn't want the rat to come near me. Don't come near me! I just kept thinking of how much pain there would be. And so, in the dream, because I knew all I wanted was my foot, I bit my foot off myself. When I woke up, I could barely breathe. I was so scared. I can still see the rat. And I think it was after me because something was wrong with the room or I was being punished for something. but I was more afraid of the rat's teeth and how much it would hurt. So I decided I would do it. I would hurt myself before he could. Even though I didn't understand why the rat wanted to hurt me, I just knew I had to do it myself or he would. I didn't like that dream at all. Please, diary, I know it sounds silly, but don't judge me the way someone might if they heard me tell them this dream. I hope I never dream like that again. I don't even want to know what it means or if I'm sure I even want to remember it. I'll decide that tomorrow when the darkness is gone and things are easier to see when they come after you. It makes me mad that I feel like I can't go and tell Mom about this. I'm afraid she'll laugh and then maybe tell it to everyone and embarrass me. I'm so afraid people will laugh at me. I'm going to try to be more like Donna. I'll be good, and I'll do everything I'm supposed to do. That way, there won't be anything anyone can find out and make fun of me for. There will be nothing they can say I have done wrong. I bet that what I did with Donna and the boys is causing this. I can't even think straight enough to decide if one feeling was worth the other. Something has to be causing nights like this. I will try to be better. I will stop doing things that older girls should be doing. I will not let anyone hurt me. Like in the dream, I'll hurt myself first. I know the places that are most delicate. I'll do the hurting from now on. As long as all of this stops. I wish I could talk to my mommy. Laura. December 16th, 1985. Dear Diary, I don't know that I will be writing in you for a while. I have just had another dream. I must have fallen asleep while I was waiting for the sun. I don't know why, but I kept seeing you appear and disappear on people's laps, on their seats at the diner, when they went to the jukebox, on the hood of their cars when they went to go driving. I tried to take you back, but you kept sliding away. You were going to tell everyone what was inside you. A few people read what was written there, and these people turned into rats. They wanted to take me out the way Bob does. I think that until I understand more, we shouldn't speak. I don't know why I dreamed this, but I am too afraid to challenge it. If this doesn't make the nightmares and the fire and the ropes and the little silver blades go away, maybe I am supposed to give in to them. Maybe that is what is meant for me. Maybe I just have to be patient and stop fighting it and it will go away. I hate to say goodbye to a listener as good as you. I feel I must, though. Until I find out if you are somehow talking to people when I don't know about it. Am I going crazy? I can't wait until vacation is over and school starts again so that I can have something to keep me busy. I look at other girls that I know, other girls I see, and they all smile, like I do. Inside, are they beginning to lose everything they know? Have they stopped trusting themselves and everyone around them, too? Please don't let me find out that I am the only one on earth with this pain. Laura. April 23rd, 1986. Dear Diary, it has been a long time since I've written. School is fine, but I find it almost too easy. There's not enough to keep my mind from wandering to boys. Or fantasies. Donna and I have had several fights this year because she says I'm acting strangely to her and that I'm not being the friend that I was. I hate crying. So why does it come so easily lately? I'm only trying to be good and to keep busy and not do too much talking or daydreaming because I thought that bothered people and made bad things happen to me. Now Donna is mad because I won't tell her what I'm really feeling, because I'm afraid. I can't tell her I'm afraid because she would make me tell her why. I can never, ever tell. I haven't even touched myself where I know I can to make myself feel good. I'm afraid, because that is about sex. And I decided I wouldn't think about that anymore. Which is so hard. I hate myself. And I hate my life. Dad has been busy all the time lately with Benjamin and his work there at the Great Northern. And I am starting to feel the way Audrey must when her father spends more time and attention with me than he does with her. Now it is happening in the reverse. And I am just trying to be good and make it stop, and it is only getting harder for me to sleep or even eat. I don't want to feel this way anymore. If I do, I know something awful will happen. I dreamed last night that I had dug a hole in the backyard for a well because I was trying to help us with water, and I thought a well would be a nice thing to build for the family. Mom loved the idea and smiled very big. But when she went outside later in the dream, I was burying myself in the hole trying to kill myself. She realized I had lied to her, and this made her very upset. She ran out to stop me, and I screamed that I didn't want to wake up in the middle of the night with leaves all over me anymore. I wanted to be a tree so that I could listen for trouble in the woods. And I was buried all of a sudden, but I was inside something that wasn't a dirt hole. Mom came to my room right after to ask if I was all right, and I told her I was fine. I was just having nightmares about the woods is all. The look on her face went from sadness to hopefulness. Then, unfortunately, she began something I didn't need to hear at all. She started telling me about the birds and the bees and about birth control and babies and all of this ridiculous stuff about how my dreams were just a part of my changing body and maybe I just needed some questions answered. The whole time she talked to me, I was thinking of something else. I had to think of flowers and of smiling faces and anything. Big trucks filled with lumber, of birds, of Donna, 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 good things only. Don't listen. Couldn't listen to that voice saying all of